ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नोद्विग्न चित्तो व्यसेनो निष्प्रिहः श्रुतेषु त्रितेषु गुणेष्व अवास्तुतृक् दन्तेन्द्रिय प्राण शरीर दिहि सदा प्रशांत कामो रहित रहितासुरो सुरः नद्विघ्नचित्तो व्यसनेषु निरीहिप्रा नद्विघ्नचित्तो व्यसनेषु निस्पृहान् श्रुतेषु द्विते त्रिष्टेषु गुणेषु वास्तुतृक् श्रुतेषु त्रितेषु गुणेष्व वास्तुतृक् अन्तेन्द्रियप्राणशरीर हि सदा कंठेन्द्रिय प्राण शरीर दि सदा प्रशांत कामो रोहित असुर सुरा प्रशांत कामो रहित असुर सुरा विघ्न चित्तो व्यसनेषु निस्पृहान् श्रुतेषु त्रितेषु गुणेषु सुदृक् तन्तेन्द्रिय प्राण शरीर दि सदा प्रशन्त कामो रहित सुरु सुरा नदीक्य चित्तो व्यसनेषु निस्पृहा श्रुतेषु द्वितेषु गुणेषु अवस्तुतृक् तन्तेन्द्रिय प्राण शरीर दि सदा प्रशांत कामो रोहित सुरा सुरो सरा अभिज्ञचित व्यसनेषु निस्पृहा प्रशांत कामो रोहित सुरो सरा Shuteshu jishteshu guneshu asti. Dateimya prana sarira disada. Asanta kamore vasu sa. No, not. Udvigna, agitated, chittaha, whose consciousness? Vyasanesu, in dangerous conditions, nispriha, without desires, shuteshu, in things heard of, especially elevation to heavenly planets because of pious activities. Jishtheshu, as well as in temporal things seen. Guneshu, the objects of sense gratification under the modes of material nature. Avastu drik, seeing as if insubstantial. Danta, controlling. Indriya, the senses. Prana, the living force. Sharira, the body. Dihi, and intelligence. Sada, always. Prashanta, quieted. Kama, whose material desires. Rahita, completely devoid of. Asuraha, demoniac nature. Asura, although born in a demoniac family. Translation: although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he himself was not an asura, but a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Unlike the other asuras, he was never envious of Vaishnavas. He was not agitated when put into danger. And he was neither directly nor indirectly interested in the fruitive activities described in the Vedas. Indeed, he considered everything material to be useless, and therefore, he was completely devoid of material desires. He always controlled his senses and life air, and being of steady intelligence and determination, he subdued all lusty desires. From this verse, we discover that a man is not qualified or disqualified simply by birth. Prahlad Maharaj was an asura by birth, yet he possessed all the qualities of a perfect Brahmana. Amanya Shila Sampanaha. Anyone can become a fully qualified Brahmana under the direction of a spiritual master. Prahlad Maharaj provided a vivid example of how to think of the spiritual master and accept his directions calmly. And the purple. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutare Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shandavari Pastare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again, although Prahlad Maharaj was born in the family of Asuras, he himself was not an Asura, but a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Unlike the other Asuras, he was never envious of Vaishnavas, he was not agitated when put into danger, and he was neither directly nor indirectly interested in the fruitive activities described in the Vedas. Indeed, he considered everything material to be useless, and therefore he was completely devoid of material desires. He always controlled his senses and life air, and being of steady intelligence and determination, he subdued all lusty desires. So continuing the wonderful qualities of Sri Prahlad Maharaj. So these are the qualities that the great devotees have, specifically the great devotees. You can't have all these great qualities in one is actually a devotee. There are most of them, but not quite all. He was, of course, he said he was born in an Asuric family, but still that didn't stop him becoming a pure devotee. Of course, Prahlad is Prahlad, he's not an ordinary person, notwithstanding his assimilating knowledge being taught by his guru while he was still in the womb of his mother. Narada Muni was speaking to his mother about the absolute truth, and he was perceiving. So not an ordinary soul. Prahlad Maharaj is one of the Mahajans, one of our acharyas, one of the great authorities that we follow. Still the storyline goes that he was born in an Asuric family, which is not a very elevated birth. Elevated means birth in the material world means the karma means material world means modes of nature, passion, goodness, and ignorance. So the asuras are generally in passion and ignorance. So therefore, it's not such an elevated birth as in Sattvagun. but in any case, it's whatever the birth is, it means that one is not, as Prabhupada says, not qualified or disqualified by your particular birth. Of course, it's better if you're born in an environment with association of the mode of goodness. Your life will be less rocky, less troublesome. Because in the mode of passion and ignorance, the lower the mode, the more bodily consciousness the more you are the body. You know? So, yeah, of course, you're still the body, you're still thinking I'm the body in the mode of goodness, but it's not so dramatic. Because other qualities that come with the mode of goodness is, you know, the qualities of like tolerance. Whereas in passion ignorance, there's no tolerance. In ignorance, you want to forget. If things get tough, you want to forget. In passion, you want to control the situation. You have burning desires, in Rajagun, burning desires. You have to achieve things, you have to do things. So that's how Hiranyakashipu became so powerful. He had a passion to do that, and he didn't mind how long it took him. And they were living for 100,000 years in these days. So he didn't even mind how many lifetimes he was going to undertake austerities and suffering, as long as he could get that power. That's how determined he was. So he was using the mode of passion, or to that intense desire to fulfill. So therefore, obviously, when these things are going on, and in ignorance, it's, you know, you may be too troublesome, therefore sleep or intoxication, you close your eyes, bury your head in the sand, pretend it doesn't exist. This is mode of ignorance. So you can see that those qualities are not very good for advancing in spiritual life. The living entity, Jiva Sarupoi, Nitya Krishna Das, is supposed to be serving Krishna. That's the only reality. So when we're not engaged in serving Krishna, that's called Maya, a material world. The material world is Maya, modes of nature. So then we come under the jurisdiction of the modes of nature, Mahamaya, not Yoga Maya. And therefore, it's troublesome, because we have these things to deal with. Whatever spiritual practice you take, whatever spiritual path you take, it's always troublesome, because you have to live with these things. But the path of the bhakti path, bhakti marg, is much easier and quicker than the other methods. It's a direct path. And we're actually engaging the senses and the material energy in the service of Krishna, because we understand that everything is Krishna's. It's coming from, it's Krishna, and it's Krishna's, because he's expanded into everything: earth, water, fire and air, mind, hunger, intelligence. So that's, there are all these separated energies, the living entity. Then there's the spiritual energy over that. So we understand that everything actually is his creation, and it should be used in his service. We're also a creation of Krishna, an emanation of Krishna. We should be engaged in his service. So that's reality. But when one forgets that and is bombarded by these modes of nature, then one really feels one has to act in the material world to fulfill one's desires for preservation, for peace. Because it's difficult. It's very difficult living in the material world for the soul. But when one can understand, when one sees that everything is actually Krishna's, and we can use everything, 99.9% of everything, we can use in the service of Krishna. So then it's not so difficult. It's positive. But the other processes, Gyan, Yoga, Shankhya, they're very difficult. Because it's negation, like Shankhya Yoga, it's negation, neti neti, not this, not this, not this. So the whole process is negation. And also the Gyanis, they see everything in Maya. Their whole program is how to distinguish spiritual matter. So that's very difficult, because your actual activity, you're dealing with Maya all the time. But at the same time, you've got to adjust that, you know, I'm not this, I'm not part of this, but you've got to deal with it. So, you know, how would you deal with eating, sleeping, mating, defending, things that more or less have to go on? Most of those things have to go on. So how do you deal with them as an impersonalist or a nirvishesha, shunyavad? It's very difficult to deal with it because the whole life is just negation. So what kind of life is that? Because everything you do, you know it's Maya to eat, you know it's Maya to sleep, you know it's Maya to mate, you know it's Maya to defend. Because you're dealing with Maya. So what kind of life is that? As a spiritual practice, it's very difficult. You just got to try and keep yourself always aloof from this manifest reality, which is, you know, practically impossible. It's only possible when you actually attain the goal of understanding, you know, realizing the self or the Brahman or the absolute or whatever you call it, or Krishna, as we say. But without a person, without a personality of Godhead, then it's very, very difficult. But when we see it like that, we see then it's not Maya. When we use this energy in the service of Krishna, then that activity itself is liberating. Although we're using our senses, moving the desire to live in this world, but at the same time, if we understand in its connection with Krishna, then that's beneficial for us. But how can it be beneficial for the other classes of transcendentalists? Because their consciousness is they're dealing with Maya. So I can't the actual process is no benefit. The process of negation. No benefit, knowledge. It's only when they reach the goal there's some benefit. But out in bhakti, the process is beneficial. So the process and the goal, they're actually one. They're both beneficial. The process and the goal, they are one, because you actually don't... when one is practicing, then the activity is a spiritual activity. Even though the consciousness may not be spiritual, so that the result of the activity is spiritual, so we're getting benefit. Whereas it's not like that in the other process, in the impersonal processes, it's not like that. They don't get any benefit from the actual activity that they perform. The benefit is, what they want is detachment. So eventually they get that, but you can only enjoy that, you only get benefit when you feel the detachment. When you get realization, you only get the benefit. But in bhakti, even though there may not be any realization, still you're getting benefit because it's actually a spiritual activity. We're serving Krishna. we don't realize Krishna in that service in the beginning, but because it's done under the direction of the Krishna, it means the scripture, through the medium of the spiritual master and the devotees, then we know from their experience, they have realized, then we know that it's a fact, even though we don't realize it ourselves. So then there's actual benefit. And the other greatest thing is that Krishna is there. Because he's a person, we can ask him for help. We can pray to him to help us overcome these obstacles, these attachments. But because the other classes, they deny the personality of Godhead, they don't get any help. Krishna says, as you surrender to me, I will reciprocate. So we're praying to the Shingadev, please remove the obstacles, right, in our devotional service. And then according to the sincerity of our prayers, and then Krishna obliges, he's interested, if it's actually sincere there. But the other transcendentalists, they don't have that opportunity. They got to do it all themselves. Because their Krishna reciprocates as a super soul. Okay, you don't believe in me. Okay, then for me, for you, I don't exist. So you don't get any help. He doesn't give any help. But he'll give you the result of your activities if you're, because you have to follow some kind of scripture. So indirectly you're surrendering to the Lord by following scripture. So he'll sanction that result according to your worth. But you don't get any extra. You don't get any mercy. But when you pray to the Lord, please remove these obstacles. I'm very weak. I can't do it. Then, okay, he can do so much for you. And ultimately he's going to do it. Ultimately he's going to do everything for you. So therefore it's much... It's much easier. We can, unless one has knowledge, like Prahlad here, he considers everything material to be useless. So that means he has knowledge. Because by experience, material. Everything material is not useless, right? We act for something, we get a result, and we enjoy that result. So we won't say it's useless materially. Yeah. But unless one has knowledge, then one can understand that it's actually useless. The activity, material activity, and the result has no benefit for the soul. It's for the body, right? Body is an expression of karma, that's all. Soul is something different. Spiritual life is something different. So when we're conditioned into acting for the karma, for the body, for the manifestation of karma from the soul's attraction or identification with the modes of nature, this body is a manifestation of that karma. The result of that, by becoming attached to the modes of nature, then this body is the result. And everyone is different. But everyone here, as spiritually, has the same opportunity. There's a popular saying, everyone is born equal. Yes. Who is equal? You don't see that. When you're born, everyone is born equal. You're born naked and you're born helpless, right? Human beings. That we'll admit we're equal, but everything else, no one's. Someone's born in a very comfortable situation. Someone's in a very severe situation. How can you say equal? Everyone is equal, but there's equal opportunity for spiritually. So everyone can take to the spiritual path. This is what Prabhupada is stressing here. It doesn't depend on your particular karmic platform, because everyone's acting on from a karmic platform. The body is a karma, expression of karma. You have to act from the body, because the body is your senses, your mind, your knowledge acquiring senses are here. The mind intelligence is here. The intellect is here, and the working organs, they're there. That's what you've got. That's all you have to work with. We don't know who we are. We don't need this body. We have nothing to do with this body. But right now, we're dependent on it. Philosophically, in actuality, the soul doesn't need the body. The soul, the body's current form and drop off and form and drop off and form and drop off. The soul remains the same, and all those bodies have no meaning. It's just karma, accumulating karma, then it finishes. That karma's finished, the body's gone. The next set of karma, you get a new body forms. Then you go through that experience, then finish. But the soul is consistent. So we're that consistent personality, that consciousness is consistent. But the karma of the material world is just constantly changing. That's sort of, actually has no real meaning. So unless one has that understanding, then you won't be able to consider everything material is useless. But if you have knowledge, if you really believe that, accept that, then why would you have material desires? So this is Prahlad's position, because he can say everything useless. Therefore, he was completely devoid of material desires. So if you want to become free of material desires, you've got to understand the material desires won't give you any profit at all. That when you're fixed in that idea, then you won't bother in that direction. but we're thinking, no, there's some result, there's some happiness I'm getting some profit, some comfort. So that's our experience, is when I do act, I have some pleasure, I get some relief, I get some better situation. That's what's keeping us going. We have a lot of faith in that. So even we do get some result from our material activity, from the spiritual point of view, what is the value of it? Whether you live like a king or a beggar, what is the, when you leave the body, what meaning? When you look back on it, what was the use? Neither was served any purpose. Right? You both lived and suffered however much you were supposed to suffer, however much you were supposed to enjoy, and then you left that situation and went to a new situation. So materially, it's actually useless, but our experience is, no, there's benefit from it. You experience benefit. When trouble comes, you move out of the way and you think, wow, I've saved myself from trouble. Experience is real. So therefore, we're attached to it. But if you understand if you're more broad-minded, if we understand it's all useless, it's for our ultimate happiness, for our ultimate protection, it's useless. It has the opposite effect. Acting materially to remove distress and happiness ultimately has the opposite effect. Because the body can't be protected. Who is free from time? So ultimately, that means more to goodness, and you'll be more broad-minded, transcendental, even more broad-minded. But passion and ignorance, you generally don't think like so far. So therefore, you become attached to the particular activities. So therefore, the mode of goodness is always recommended. Have these brahminical qualities. Brahmin means mode of goodness. Gacha means mode of passion mixed. Vaishya means passion and ignorance mixed. And Suja means ignorance. That's the actual classification, not by birth. It's not the particular family that you're born in, it's the modes of nature that you acquired and act by. But that can be changed. You have, by training, by knowledge and training, you can overcome that. So by knowledge, training, and practice, then you can overcome that. So that doesn't, your birth doesn't have any, it's not a necessity to practice spiritual life, because you can practice it in any circumstances. Anyone can chant Hare Krishna. Anyone can remember Krishna. Anyone can do some service for Krishna right now. It's not dependent on qualification. It's not dependent on age, gender, or intelligence. So no, anyone can do that if they're willing to do it, right? Because so when you engage in service to Krishna, that's a liberated platform. That's bhakti is a direct platform. So that's a platform of liberation. So that when you're doing it, that's the actual point of liberation. So this point of liberation or freedom is actually at this particular moment, what we're doing, like now it's Shravanam and Kirtanam is going on. Krishna, Vishnu, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. So if we're trying to hear and trying to speak sincerely, then this is the actual platform of liberation, this moment. All of the transcendentalists, they have to come back to the present moment, right? The Gyanis, the Yogis, the Buddhists, everyone has to come back to the present moment, because Maya is time. So you can't talk past and future, because that's Maya, right? It's subject to time. The whole material world is Maya, right? According to the impersonalists or the Mayavadis. So one has to become, one has to try to become free from that. Very difficult task they have, very difficult life they live, to try to become free from it, to live in the present moment. But when you're acting for Krishna, then it's much easier. Yeah? Relating is easier than negating. So the other impersonal, they have to negate everything, and the devotees relate everything. So it's much easier to relate everything than to negate everything, because we are everything. We are part of everything. The body that we operate into, this body, this is part of it. This is part of what we relate. We're related to this body, right? You can't deny it. The Buddhists say everything is nothing. But they have to admit that this is something is happening here. So they say this is the only manifestation. This is what we see now. This is because they can't deny that. They say actually there's nothing, but they can't deny it. They say this is the only manifestation of that, whatever it is. You're right. They have to. So, but it's still an illusion for them. So how do you act in the illusion through the medium of the illusion, which is the body and the senses, because they're also illusory. They're difficult very, of course, the philosophy was made by Lord Shiva, so he's very, very intelligent. There's some word juggling, intellectual juggling that people think, yeah, that's something there, but they can't quite catch it. But the point is that if we stress in here that it doesn't depend on, because it depends on this particular moment, Krishna consciousness, you can choose to serve Krishna, or you can choose to serve Maya, or you can go to sleep. They're your options. So, but you've got to start from here. So because you're starting from here, then it really doesn't, your qualification on disqualification has no real standing if you want to do it. Right? So what difference does it make from, because everyone in this room is different. They come from different walks of life, different backgrounds, different afflictions of the modes of nature. Yet we're all doing the same thing. We're all hearing and chanting about Krishna. So we've all got the equal opportunity to do that. For those of us who are more disturbed by Raja and Tama, it's going to be more troublesome to listen, because these other desires will be, you know, other things will keep coming up in your mind. Oh, I got to do this. Remember this. I have to do this. I have to do that. And time to eat soon, and all these things will keep coming. That's the difference between passion and ignorance and goodness. Goodness is not such a bumpy ride. You're more peaceful and more tolerant. But when these other desires come, it's difficult to tolerate them in the mode of passion and ignorance. So therefore, you go and address them. So that's why. But otherwise, it doesn't depend on either one doesn't have to have all these brahminical qualities. It better. That's why Krishna says, you follow Varnashram. So we follow, or Devi Varnashram, we follow, connect everything with Krishna. It's better to have all these, obviously better to have all these qualities. We'll admit that for sure, right? It's better to be tolerant, better to be peaceful. We would like those qualities. More easier to practice your spiritual life when you have those different qualities. But it's not dependent on those qualities. It should be easier with those qualities. So whatever lifestyle, whatever culture you come from, you can stay in that culture, but to put Krishna in this, make Krishna the center. It's not that one has to develop all these, follow the behavior of the Brahmins and the Vedas. It's recommended because let's face it, probably the best situation, because the whole the Varnashram is given by Krishna, and he knows best what is the best way, and the whole institution, the whole social structure is that it's gradually progressive. It's progressing towards a spiritual purpose. Whereas you can't say that about any other cultures, really, in the world. So it's stressing, you know, and it's dealing with all classes of people. So then there's karma yoga for those who are less serious about spiritual life. They want to enjoy the material world. So then there's karma yoga, then let them enjoy their senses, and there's a lot more freedom for them. But gradually they're evolving because, you know, they're doing it in a religious way. They're enjoying it in a religious way. But there's also a restriction there. Religion means restriction. But they're doing it in a religious way. So gradually, after many births, they're going to get purified. So it's a progressive culture. But it's not dependent on the surrender to Krishna. It's not, you have to come to that platform first. You can do it from any culture, any platform. We've seen in our society, ISKCON, that we've seen devotees who left their body have probably gone back to Godhead. It looks like it. A number of devotees, more or less say they went back to Godhead by what they was experienced at the end of their life and what they said, and you know, you don't make up tales when you're dying, when you're leaving your body. You're serious, and you know, they weren't high profile people, or devotees, or culture. They didn't have the Brahminical culture. You know, some of them never even came to India practically. That's our experience. We see people apparently went back to Godhead without any Brahminical culture. So it doesn't depend on that, but of course, obviously, it's going to be a lot more helpful. So here it's glorifying. Prahlad was born with all these qualities, because those qualities will develop automatically, because the qualities of the Brahmana, they're closest to the qualities of those, at least in the spiritual world. It means pure, clean, pleasant, tolerant, not in anxiety, not too many desires, not self-interested. So that's the residence of the spiritual world are like that. So the Brahman is supposed to, those Brahminical qualities are closer to the qualities of the residents of the spiritual world. That's why they recommend to develop these qualities. That is be easier transition, you see. But it's not actually necessary. So he was saying, Prahlad, even though he was born in the family of Asuras, but he himself was a great devotee of the Lord. And Prabhupada says, Prahlad Maharaj provided a vivid example how to think of the spiritual master and accept his direction calmly, although he didn't elaborate on the purport, but in the other purports, past and future, he would elaborate how he heard those instructions from his spiritual master, Narada Muni, while he was in the womb of his mother, and took them very seriously. And then, now he said, pure unalloyed devotee. So we follow in the footsteps of Mahajans, we follow in the footsteps of Prahlad, how he became indifferent to the law, indifferent to the material desires, because he understood it was all not really beneficial. So, and that's how in ISKCON we have that we have two rules only for accept what's favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject what's unfavorable. So that's knowledge. What is favorable, what is unfavorable, that's our knowledge. And then we apply that knowledge. We accept what's favorable and we reject what's unfavorable. That's what we do. And we pray to Krishna and the devotees for help. And that is our success. That will be our success according to our sincerity of purpose, we will reach the desired, we'll get the desired goal sooner or later. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Sri Gopati Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions on this subject matter?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, I'm from Central India, and there people have faith in God. Like when they have something material desire, they go to Vrindavan, they do circumambulation of Govardhan. But they don't go beyond this. They just say that, do little bit, not much. So how to encourage them?
I couldn't hear it very well, I'm sorry. It's not very good thing here.
Like,
people go for Prikram,
they have some material desire, then they go to Vrindavan. They do circumambulation of Govardhan.
Yes.
But, and when I tell them to, like, you know, chant, then they say, this is not required, like, don't go too much into it, just do a little bit, and then do your daily activities. So how to encourage them?
How to encourage them?
Yes.
Well, if they're not much interested in chanting, then you encourage them to do prikram. That's fantastic. They're doing Govardhan prikram. That's fantastic.
Going for some material desire to
get
fulfilled.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Oh yeah, they're doing Govardhan prikram. They get the benefit of that, and they get their material desire, and they get the benefit of a Govardhan prikram. Akama savakama va moksha kama udaridi. Krishna says, whether you're full of material desires, you have no material desires, you want liberation, you worship Vishnu. Somehow other go to Vishnu. Make your connection. Once you're connected with Krishna, that's success. Your life is successful at that point when you're connected. So when you're doing prikram, you're connected with Krishna. You're circumambulating Krishna. You'll get benefit for that. So encourage them in what they like to do rather than try to get them to do something else. Because, you know, they're not very advanced. They have material desires. And they know they're going to Krishna to fulfill those material desires. So that's good. Pious. What do you do? What do you do for your material desires? Where do you go to fulfill your material desires? It's a personal question. You don't have to answer it because we're on TV. Yeah. Well, so they're doing the same thing. They're approaching Giri Govardhan to fulfill their material desires. So that's okay. Everyone's starting from that platform. Who's free from material desires? Let's face it. No one's free from material desires. If you're free from material desires, then you're a pure unalloyed devotee. If you're not a pure unalloyed devotee, then you have some material desires. You have a desire for liberation or comfort or happiness, pleasure, karma or jnana. One of those two. So because we're not pure unalloyed devotees, it means we're still desiring our own comfort, right? Our own pleasure. So where do we go for that? Better you go to Krishna from someone else, right? You get benefit, you're being with Krishna. That moment you got benefit, you're going to contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So whatever, you go to Krishna. Okay. Jai Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai.